When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. This is Drew speaking. I got my boy Garrett.
Hello.
Hanging out on a Thursday in beautiful Athens, Georgia.
It's very overcast, very mild. To quote Hank Hill from King of the Hill, well, god dang if this isn't mild weather.
Very mild weather, sir. Garrett coming through with all the best voices. I just sound like a Muppet 100% of the time. Y'all haven't noticed.
Dude, you're still not as bad as Patrick Mahomes. So.
It's true. Anyways, we're here to talk about the impending Nebraska game, and we've got some thoughts, what to look for, and maybe the weather situation. So we're going to go ahead, take a quick break, pay a few bills, and we'll catch you on the other side. And we're back. Garrett.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be cold, dude.
Yeah, I heard the weather's going to be, as some people might describe, less than ideal.
Less than ideal. I mean, it could be, in fact, quite sloppy, even for Midwestern values.
Big Ten West football and sloppy weather just seem to pair well together, though. It's like a nice Pinot and a nice shrimp scampi.
It's wild. I just got done writing a... preview for the Kansas State who are they playing? It doesn't matter. Kansas State Houston game. And basically the whole article was like Houston can't throw the ball because it's gonna be like gusting winds, and so Kansas State's gonna win because they're gonna handle the weather better. And since Lincoln's just a little bit north of Manhattan, I think it's probably gonna go the same way in this game. Who runs the ball better and who turns the ball over less? What are your thoughts on that?
I kind of like sloppy weather football and seeing who can, you know, commit the fewest mistakes and just play the ugliest but winningest game that they can. And, you know, if it comes down to who has the fewer amount of special teams miscues or who fumbles the ball four times versus three times... I'm all for that. I am kind of expecting that as well.
We're going to drag them into the slop. That's going to be the equalizer. We're just dragging them down into our sloppy football weather ways. I feel like, we're going to turn the ball over either way. So if they're turning the ball over too, that works all in our favor. Seriously, though, ball safety is going to be... at a peak. Maccabee is obviously not known for that, so he's going to need to make sure this week really focus in on that. Two hands on the ball, get in, and just sometimes, buddy, just give it up.
Yeah, and honestly, question for you real quick is, like, if the weather's going to be as bad as it's supposed to be, what do you think kind of passing game exists for either team, if it does at all? I mean, like, how many attempts can... If the weather's, like, as bad as you can imagine, without, you know, like, a lightning delay or any sort of storm delay, do you see Hudson Card throwing, like, maybe, like, 14 attempts tops?
Yeah, I think it could be one of those games, because it's going to just sort of be a steady drizzle, steady showers all day in, like, rapidly dropping temperature in, like, 15-mile-hour winds. And so it's gonna be a tough one. Luckily, you were talking about earlier that Card may be healthy. So
yeah, no, Walters was saying that he looks like himself again after he took all those hits against Illinois. So
well, hope he has reset his hit count because we might need that running ability.
Hey, I was about to say maybe this is going to be a game where he has to rush for like 112 yards or something.
Yeah, definitely. because I think it could be one of those games, honestly. And again, he's another guy that's been coughing the ball up. He's going to have to really make sure he gets squeezes that thing. And so Nebraska, I just sort of wrote this preview on him. It's weird that Purdue actually gets a chance to redeem themselves from earlier in the year, because Nebraska's quarterback is essentially a younger version of Garrett Schrader. He's about 6'5", 215. His name is Heinrich Hallberg.
Which is like, I gotta hand it to him. That is one of the coolest. Heinrich Hallberg.
Oh, man.
Dude, like, if you're not playing in Minnesota, you have to be playing in Nebraska with a Norse name like that. Like, your family moved here from Oslo in the 1800s and got a farm outside Lincoln, or let's say Omaha for the sake of argument. That is a great name. Yes. I just had to go on that spiel.
And he is a good running quarterback. That's what he does. He's not a good throwing quarterback.
His completion percentage has been very, very bad this year. He has had multiple games where he throws under 40%, where he also rushes. He is their leading rusher.
Right.
So he's their leading passer and their leading rusher. He's had multiple games where he's thrown under 40%. But has run for, I think, as many as, like, what was it? Like,
120-something against, what was it? Southern Illinois, something like that.
But, dude, I mean, like, that's the type of guy that Purdue has kind of had issues with.
Like I said, basically Garrett Schrader. I think Garrett Schrader may be able to throw the ball just slightly better, but I feel like this guy, Hallberg, it might be a little more elusive. I feel like he's a little quicker, a little better athlete overall. This guy kind of runs like a small forward. He just sort of glides down the field, and those long legs just eat up ground. I think he gets on top of safeties faster than they think, because he's just, you know, chewing up yardage with his long strides. So he gets on top of players quick, and you can tell he's strong enough to just sort of run through the arm tackles. So Purdue's going to have to really work on containing this guy. The defensive ends and outside linebackers have to just keep him in the pocket. Just contain him on the run.
And I want to ask your opinion on this real quick as well. Is like, if the weather's going to be bad and he's already a quarterback who is not exactly known for throwing particularly at a high level, that's a nice way of putting it. Like, do you think they just go, like, totally all in on run? Or do you think they try to catch Purdue off guard?
I think you could end up with a game that has, like, them attempting, like, 7 or 8 passes. And, like, they're going to just run, and then, you know, max protect, play action, and see if you can get Purdue's safeties cheated up. They did that against Northwestern.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. They did that against Northwestern and won that game in the fourth quarter, because Northwestern safeties finally just got tired of being trucked by running backs and started coming up too quick. And then all of a sudden, play action pass over the top. The dude throws it like a javelin. But
I feel like that's the exact route they're gonna go. No running route or passing route, pun intended. But I feel like that's where they're gonna go with, you know, just trying to get a safety to bite. And like, if you only have 8 pass attempts in a game, like 5 of those are gonna be home run ball attempts. I don't think they're gonna try to go for possession receiving too much at all in this weather. I mean, they do run the 3-3-5 with the Rover. And their Rover is their leading tackler, which tells me you can pass over the middle against them a lot as well. But I feel like from their perspective, they're not going to be doing that possession receiving thing. They're going to be run, try not to fumble, run, try to throw it over a safety who bit, run.
Yeah, that's really going to be it. Sort of what I said in the preview. It's going to be really a test to produce patience on defense, because it's so tempting to try to take off early when you know almost when they've run the ball down your throat and you're tired of the quarterback like just like hitting you at full speed, so you try to take off just a little early, and then he pulls up and just dumps it over the top.
Well, and for the same reason, I'm kind of worried about the RPO in this game a little bit as well.
Yeah, one thing I will say is I don't expect there to be a lot of, like, super fancy, like, read option, pull it, putting the ball in and pulling it out. I think it's going to be that sort of sloppy, don't want, you want to sort of minimize exchange issues all game. Yeah, the RPO could definitely be a problem if they're secure enough with the ball to run it.
Yeah, if the rain, like, lets off a little bit, I suppose. But
yeah.
We're all talking hypotheticals now. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. Drew's a pretty good meteorologist. I am not.
I respect the people at the weather channel. Hammer and Rails used to have a resident meteorologist in Juan Crespo. Mr. Crespo is off, doing other fancy stuff with science. And, I don't know, rockets. And so he's abandoned us. And so we have to rely on the weather channel these days. But, yeah, it looks bad. So those are always just hard games to predict because, you know, it kind of just brings both teams down to the same level where there's definitely going to be some turnovers. And it's a game that could very well be decided on just weird bounces.
Right, yeah.
You know, ball skips off a receiver's hands and hits a safety. I will say that the throws that I did see Hallberg miss, they were all high. He sails the ball a lot.
Do you think we keep, like, an extra safety a little bit deep for that sort of thing? Because I noticed that as well.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think the safeties are going to definitely be looking for those overthrows. I mean, they've seen them on tape, and that's the best way to intercept the ball. Those overthrows with a safety just coming over the top and picking it off. So I think you're going to see, that could come into play. You know, if they attempt eight passes and we pick one of them off, that wouldn't be terrible. Yanni's going to have to bring his hard hat. OC and Clyde Washington, I think this is a game where you're going to definitely have the two linebackers on the field at all times, instead of having that extra, guy in the secondary. So
yeah, and it's good that coming off the bye week, like, they're both rested, because I was thinking, you know, the exact same thing where it's like, dude, those linebackers are just going to be probably like three down players for most of the game.
And, you know, honestly, I like what Purdue has depth-wise on the defensive line.
I do too.
I feel like we're good at nose tackle. I think we were about three deep at the nose.
I don't worry about, like, you know, God forbid there were an injury to the defensive line, but I don't worry about a significant drop off if one of the starters were to get injured, which is, you know, a good way of looking at something kind of negative.
So, you know, Purdue's defense is kind of built for a game like this. I feel like they do have their best talent, maybe probably straight across the defensive line. So they're, going to go five across, and Nebraska's going to try to punch holes through that five-man line, and that's where you're going to have those two linebackers coming in and making the right fills and not falling for the zone read or the fake pitch. They do run the option with this guy. They run that speed option to the outside with their back, and he's pretty good at knowing when to pitch it and when to fake that pitch and just keep going down the field. So it's going to be, like I said, a chance for redemption after Garrett Schrader just shredded.
Now we're just, since they're based in New York as well, we might as well just start making Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle references.
Yeah, so, a chance for redemption. Ryan Walters is calling the defense now, so let's see if it looks any different from this time. Obviously, Garrett, I think tackling is going to be at a premium.
That's going to be the most important thing in a crappy weather game. And also, I mean, like, going... speaking of bye weeks and then speaking of injuries and how Purdue's defensive line is kind of like built for this game, it is needing to be mentioned that coming off the bye week, like, Purdue's players are all getting healthy, and Nebraska's even lost another offensive lineman, so they've, like, totally retooled their offensive line. All but two guys starting are freshmen or sophomores. So, like, if this is an ugly, gross weather game, and Purdue's defensive line is looking like I think they can, I think they squeak one out, man. Not to get too ahead to the predictions, but, like, again, this is a game they're built for.
Right, yeah. No, I do think that the weather actually does benefit Purdue a little more. Maybe than Nebraska. It's hard to say because Nebraska likes to run the ball a lot anyway, and Purdue does tend to throw the ball more. But I do think, you know, in that Ohio State game, I think we started to see some of that inside run develop with, you know, what we've got going on now. So it would be nice if you'd see that sort of progress carried over into this weekend. And maybe hopefully having Tracy in the mix as well for a little extra firepower.
Yeah, again, he's still questionable.
Still questionable.
But he has practice.
He's practiced, so that's good. And then we'll have him. And, you know, Downing's also been a solid back for us, too. So, you know, we've got we're not lacking for choice at running back. And I feel like Garrett Miller is an excellent blocking tight end. So that's helpful as well.
I also feel like Garrett Miller might be a good, like, possession receiving option in this game.
I do too. Like, I think he's the guy that blocks, slips out on one of those little, like, you know, 6-yard out routes for a
exactly,
first down.
Yeah.
I think Card, as opposed to Hallberg, I feel like Card's delivery probably lends itself a little better to the rainy conditions, a little more compact, puts a little more zip on the ball, pushes it through the wind a little bit more than the, like I said, the javelin of Hallberg. I mean, hey, it's been effective for him.
All the time, but yeah, sometimes.
The dude's more athletic, you know, than I've ever dreamt of being. So, you know, not hating on that, but... it is an interesting delivery. Anyways, Garrett, so I think we're about to go on ahead to the final part of the show here where we talk about what's going to happen. Did you bring the crystal ball in from downstairs?
No. Oh. I brought two.
Okay, we have two.
One for me, one for you.
Oh, well. And,
and I think our crystal balls are going to kind of, like, light up to the same color because I think we were on the same page with this prediction. But ugly game, man. I think this is one. I know Purdue's, like, 2.5 dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're a 2.5 point underdog. But I think this is a game they win by a field goal. I'm staying very specifically and very confidently, and, you know, I've done that before. But 23-20, Purdue. I think this is a beautifully ugly football game that I cannot wait to watch.
And, you know, what you need to know about Garrett is he's a very much a masochist, and he enjoys watching things like this. Yeah, just, you know, it makes him feel alive, I guess. And then,
it makes me feel something.
Makes him feel something in his dark, dark heart. This is the most metal and emo of the Purdue blog podcast.
Yeah, find me another guy who talks about Purdue football who plays bass in a metal band with a bunch of guys with, like, head tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
The most metal podcast.
I don't have head tattoos, but...
That you know of. Anyways, enough about Garrett's head tattoos. I think this game is going to go something like 27-21, and I can't tell you which side confidently will be on which side of the score. Like, I could see Nebraska winning 27-21. I could see Purdue winning 27-21. I think this is going to be sloppy. There's going to be some weird bounces. Because this is a Purdue blog podcast, though, and because, you know, just don't like Nebraska.
Dude, their helmets are so boring. Those freaking, just like, sans serif, block letter N, no design attempt at all.
They've just so stuck in the 80s, and, you know, it's just, it's over, boys. It's over. You're not getting those recruits from California anymore, and Tom Osborne is not over on the show. Just kidding out there, any Nebraska fans.
Yeah, no, you guys aren't that bad.
You're fine. It's okay. We're just, you know, need something to talk about after that Ohio State loss.
Yeah, right.
Build ourselves back up a little bit.
Although, here's one thing I did want to bring up before we go. Was that if we are going on the road to play a game in bad weather, this is a very good time for scholarship kicker Ben Freehill to be coming back. Because I don't know if you guys remember from the Ohio State game, but we missed all three field goal attempts. And a student won a 2-year lease on a car for kicking a 40-yard field goal right before Purdue missed a 39-yard field goal. So, that all said, I think having a good kicker coming back might actually be a difference in this game. That's all I had to say. All
right. With that little nugget of wisdom, we're going to go ahead and sign off and you know, we'll be back to talk about hopefully a Purdue victory on Tuesday next week. So, y'all take care.
Y'all come back now.
Adios.